Our culture's conflict over education boils down to one question. Who do kids belong to? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. On Tuesday, Republican Glenn Youngkin defeated incumbent Terry McAuliffe in the Virginia governor race. The issue that gave Youngkin the edge was education, something that Republicans typically do not perform as well on in Virginia. However, things changed in the Commonwealth after a year and a half of school shutdowns, heated disagreements over masking policies, debates over whether critical theory should be taught in the classroom on issues of race and LGBTQ, a horrific cover-up by the Loudoun County School Board, and especially Governor McAuliffe's comment during a September debate that parents shouldn't be telling schools what to teach. As shocked as Virginians were by the comment, the view of education it reflects has a long and storied history. The late sociologist Christopher Lash described it in his 1979 bestseller, The Culture of Narcissism, American Life in an Age of Diminishing Expectations. Lash believed that industrialization, by taking labor outside of the home, also led Americans to question whether other responsibilities should leave the home as well. Lash quoted two national education officials who, all the way back in 1918, said this: "Though once the school had mainly to teach the elements of knowledge, now it is charged with the physical, mental, and social training of the child as well." Around the same time, Sigmund Freud was psychoanalyzing parenthood, often casting parents in the role of the villain. This was also the same era in which the modern concept of social work was born and when America launched the juvenile justice system. Entire industries were built upon this premise that parents were largely unqualified to raise their own kids, or at least they needed a lot of help from the state. In the late 1800s, Ellen Richards, the founder of modern social work, suggested that, quote, "In a social republic, the child as a future citizen is an asset of the state, not the property of its parents." A few decades earlier, Dutch theologian, statesman, and philosopher Abraham Kuyper outlined a very different theory of the relationship between the family, the state, and other aspects of society. With his view of sphere sovereignty, Kuyper suggested that government was only one of the God-ordained governing institutions, each one created with their own purview and their own scope of authority. Though it does have a vested interest in the education of citizens, the government doesn't bear the responsibility or the right to usurp parental authority. Kuyper believed that societal breakdown was inevitable whenever a God-ordained authority either abandoned or exerted authority outside of its own ordained sphere. That's an ominous analysis for today, isn't it? When so many, including apparently gubernatorial candidates, see the state as society rather than as one element within it. In Scripture, the birth of a child is always described as a gift from God. God gave Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. God gave Samuel to Hannah, and so on. "The Lord has given me many sons," King David said. Of course, God's gifts always come with responsibilities. Parenthood intrinsically commits Christians to follow Jesus, to be thoughtful, self-sacrificing, to live virtuously, to teach kids to do the same, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Any authority that we have over our children is God-given and must ultimately and eventually be surrendered back to Him. Sometimes carrying out parental duties requires help. Modern parents are incredibly fortunate to have access to pediatricians and child psychologists and family counselors and pastors and educators, even whole institutions that assist them in their roles as moms and dads. At the same time, both the parents and the experts have to keep straight who is the authority and who is the helper. We take our children to the doctor when they're sick, but we don't ask the doctor to bathe, feed, and clothe them. Having more technical knowledge of a child's body neither alters this line of authority nor implies that the doctor somehow knows the child. Thomas Jefferson believed that the purpose of public education was to foster citizens knowledgeable of history and virtuous enough to govern themselves. That, however, requires an accurate view of what it means to be human, what it means for us to be humans together in families and societies, what it means to be fallen humans, and how fallen humans can actually become self-governing people. Whenever a culture loses its grip on these ideological and worldview foundations, you can expect so-called experts, or as C.S. Lewis called them, the conditioners, to step in and loudly suggest that their college degree and education and place on the government payroll somehow gives them the vocational and moral authority over our children. Don't buy it. That authority belongs to God. He has assigned it to parents, along with the responsibility of educating and raising them. And if we believe that, we should also trust Him to equip us to rise to the occasion of raising them. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.